The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning to everyone who is joining us in person, and good morning to everyone who is joining us online. It is online. I'm having a problem speaking this morning, so please forgive me. But for those who are joining us online and those in person, welcome. It is good that you are here, and together we will encounter God in word and in sacrament. This is the first Sunday of Advent, the blessed time of the year when we wait and prepare for the coming of our Lord. Our liturgy for the Eucharist will be a little bit different, so I just highlight that. So when we get to that, you can be mindful of some responsive parts of the congregation. With that being said, we are recording this service. If you do not wish to be recorded, remain in your seats until the usher, and we will bring the elements of communion to you. And with that being said, let us prepare our hearts and minds and begin worshiping with the words as printed in our bulletin. This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Please stand if you are able, and if you're not able, know that the congregation stands with you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sins to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves.
We have sinned against you with thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone.
We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with the power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
And now we will light our first candle in Advent season, the candle of hope. We light the candle of hope. May we wait in hopeful longing for your presence. Bless us as we light this candle
to be vigil for your arrival. We trust that even though we do not know the day of our hour, you hurry to gather all people to your peace.
Amen.
Let us pray. Stir up your power, Lord Christ, and come. By your mercy,
protection, save us from the threatening dangers of our sins, and enlighten our walk in the way of your salvation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
And I'd like to invite the children to come forward for a brief children's message. coming up on the calendar. Christmas is coming up. Is anyone excited for Christmas? You are? That's great. We're excited. Do you know how long it is till Christmas, though?
A long time.
A long time? We got 25 days coming up.
Just over.
But I bet you if you look to that wreath, you can tell me how many weeks till Christmas?
Four.
Four more weeks. And so we take this wreath, and the wreath is, what type of circle is the wreath? It's a circle, yes. I answered my own question. What circle is the circle? Yes, what shape is the circle? And I said, I'm having problems this morning. I think I got up too early. But the circle, does a circle have a beginning or an ending?
No.
No. And so we have a wreath that's in a circle to tell us that there is no beginning or ending to God's love. And we count the days because we have hope till Christmas. And we know that there's four more weeks. And so Jesus today tells us in the gospel to have hope for the coming of Christ. And so we have hope for Christmas, and we have hope that Christmas will come again when Christ returns again for us. And so let us wait this year in hope. And let us pray. Count of three. You all know how to do this now. We're going to bring our hands together on three. One, two, three. Repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for loving us.
Thank you for
Christmas.
Thank you for Christmas.
Help us wait in hope for Christmas.
Help us wait in hope for Christmas.
Amen.
Amen.
And now the children may be dismissed from Sunday school. Clearly they look forward to it.
There. Good morning. The first reading is from the second chapter of the book of Isaiah, verses 1 through 5. Hear now the word. The word that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many peoples shall come and say, "Let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm is found on page 4 of the bulletin. We'll be saying it instead of speaking it today. You will do it with me, and please read aloud the bold text. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord."
Now our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem.
Jerusalem is built as a city that is at unity with itself.
To which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, the assembly of Israel, praise the name of the Lord.
For there are the thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David.
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you.
Peace be within your walls, and quietness within your towers.
For the sake of my kindred and companions, I pray for your prosperity.
Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek to do you good. The second reading is from the 13th chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans, verses 11 through 14. Hear now the word. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 24th chapter. Jesus said to the disciples, "About that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken, one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken, one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have left the house to be broken into. Therefore also, you must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
finally Advent. And since childhood, I have always deeply loved this time of year, with all of its longings and waitings. This is a season of preparing for the revealing of the great mystery of God becoming flesh. And as fun and as exciting as it is to wait for Christmas, there is a parallel waiting going on in our text today as we wait for Christ to return. And so Jesus tells his followers to be awake and be on watch. And I think waiting is built into the season of Advent. I remember as a child, I would wait and wait and wait for Christmas to come around. I loved Christmas, and not just because of the presents, but there's the music and the food, and the family visiting. I just loved the whole season. But everything about the season has a waiting period to it. I remember coming in the month of November wanting and waiting to decorate the house. We lived in this multi-generation household, and my grandparents kept the Christmas decoration in these huge 4 feet long cylindrical containers in the garage. They were taller than I was, and once those decorations were out, crawl into them and play. So I was excited to decorate. I would ask them, are we going to decorate today? They would respond, no, not today. And this would go on for the whole month of November, it would seem. This agonizing waiting and asking and waiting. And then finally, the day would come when they would say, this Saturday, we're going to get the Christmas tree. So then a whole week more of waiting would ensue. And then we'd drive to the lot and get the tree. And then it seemed like the real celebration of Christmas began. But then did the waiting. And it seems with each tradition we have, there's a corresponding waiting period for it. And then you wait till Christmas Eve. And at my household, we had a Christmas Eve tradition where you got to open one present. But even that became a wait period. Because we were told you couldn't open it till after dinner. And not only till then, but after Christmas Eve service. And so I'd wake up that morning convinced somehow through my brilliant rhetorical scheming I could convince them to let us open early. I think my theological debating skills were honed in those early hours. Mom, if we open the present now, I'll be too busy and I won't argue with my brother. Or the argument, what's the point of opening a present at night? We have to have time to play for it. And so this scheming and arguing would continue all day until finally my mother had enough and she would say, ask me one more time and you'll have to wait till Christmas morning. So then the real agonizing wait would continue. And so we would have dinner, we'd go to our Christmas Eve service, and when we got home, I would be beyond eager. Finally, would get this present, and I would tear into it with joy. And in ecstasy of happiness, I would hear the dreaded words, bedtime in 30 minutes. So then I would have precisely 30 minutes to get a whole day's worth of play in. And then we would settle down, get ready for bed, read the night before Christmas, and get tucked in. but I was too excited at that point to sleep. Too excited for what the day will bring, too excited about my new toy, so I would just stay there awake into the long night until finally sleep overcame me. But not just any sleep, a very light sleep, because I was aware of any movement from my parents' room. Any movement that would signal the beginning of Christmas morning. And this story is what hope and expectation look like. And I think this is precisely the hope that our text calls us to this morning. We wait in hope for the returning of Christ into our midst. Wait for that moment of hope, peace, joy, and love to finally and ultimately come and reign on earth. We are waiting for heaven to come here. And I think this is contrasted to a problem we have in this text, and that is our cultural way of reading this text. We've become accustomed in our culture of reading these texts and thinking about the end in terms of fear. We hear one taken. We hear floods. We see books focused on these things. And instead of hope, we have fear. We see in films that the second coming is something to be afraid of. And so our heroes in the movies are trying to save us from Christ's return. We look at the end in terms of fear, of dread, instead of hope. And I think it's hard even hearing these texts this morning without some sense of dread lingering in our hearts. And I have learned in my many years with the Department of Correction that you can only wait for the worst to happen for so long until two things happen. You either become complacent, something bad didn't happen today, it's probably not going to happen tomorrow, so you become complacent. Or you become overly worried, become fearful of the future. And worry is life debilitating. Worry takes the joy and replaces it with dread. And dread ultimately leaves us motionless and robs us of life. But we are called to be people of hope. And in contrast to fearing Christ's return, we are told that Christ will bring wholeness to a broken world. Christ will bring healing to the nations. Heaven is coming to earth. There is no fear in that. There is no worry, only hope. My friends, the world is currently not what is meant to be. It has enough worries of its own. It has enough brokenness of its own. And we have read and heard about the bombs that have fallen this last week everywhere. We have heard of the shots that have rang out towards our LGBTQ siblings. And we all carry our own personal pains with us. The world has enough of this. Don't project that on the world to come. Because we are told that Christ, when he comes, returns with hope and joy and peace and love. Our hope is that Christ who was raised from the dead, who defeated sin and death, will come, and with him we will share in this resurrection. We wait in this season because the Son of God, who came into the world as a baby, who dwelt with us, has begun this journey of setting the world right. Christ has died for you, reconciled you back to God, and even now, in the midst of this coldness of the world, heaven still is coming down. For Christ is with you, in you, and for you. And nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And so we wait this morning and for this season for God to come again to establish this everlasting kingdom of peace, where the swords and the bullets and the bombs of this world will be turned into plowshares. We wait with hope. And so I want you to read or hear Paul's words again. But don't hear them as words of warning or dread. I want you to hear them as a child would hear them as they're going to bed on Christmas Eve. It is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than we first believed. The night is far gone. The day is near. The hope is near. Friends, it is not yet Christmas morning. It is not yet the new Christmas when Christ returns. It's this time in between. Time when we are invited to be people of hope. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. And Christ, when he comes again, with him comes the everlasting peace of Christ to reign on earth forever. Amen.
Gentle word of grace.
As we prepare for the fullness of Christ's presence, let us pray for a world that yearns for new hope. God of all, your children everywhere cry out for mercy. Awaken the global church to the urgent needs of our time. Break down barriers of culture and custom, and unite people of all faiths in your redemptive and healing work. God, in our mercy, in your mercy. God of wonder, the earth's beauty and abundance is your gift. Teach us your ways of sharing resources and caring for life. Guard fragile habitats, preserve the wild places, and protect endangered plants and animals. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of peace, you judge the nations. Beat our weapons into tools for serving the neighbor. Strengthen the resolve of all who work for an end to war. We pray for lasting peace in the land of Jesus' birth. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of loving kindness, you desire fullness of life for everyone. Fill those who hunger, comfort the grieving, and attend to those near death. Bring help and hope to any who are sick or needing your care, especially Leif, Aaron, Reg, Mariah, Jane, Kevin, Mike, Jim, Kelly, Dave, Joe, Pam, Deb, Randy, Patty, Teresa, Clifford, Jean, Madeline, Barry, Jim, Mary Ellen, Pastor Jane, and victims of the war in Ukraine. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of community, you are present when we gather in your name. Guide congregations in transition or conflict. Give wisdom to congregational councils, call committees, and ministry leaders. Keep us alert to unexpected opportunities for mission. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of promise, your goodness is everlasting. We give thanks for the lives of the faithful who now rest in you. We trust that you will bring us into the company of all the saints with rejoicing. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of our longing, you know our deepest needs. By your Spirit, gather our prayers and join them with the prayers of all your children. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. The peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
I'll invite you to share the peace of Christ with those around you.
Oh, geez. That's okay.
I invite you all to stand as you are able to celebrate It's a great Thanksgiving.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should in all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you. Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ, you comforted your people with the promises of the Redeemer, through whom you will also make all things new. In the day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness, and so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy.
Beginning and the end, the giver of life. Blessed are you for the birth of creation. Blessed are you in the darkness and in the light. Blessed are you for your promise to your people. Blessed are you in the prophet's hopes and dreams. Blessed are you for Mary's openness to your will. Blessed are you for your son, Jesus, the Word made flesh. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And again, after supper, took the cup and gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
With this bread and cup, we remember your word dwelling amongst us, full of grace and truth. We remember our new birth in his death and resurrection. We look with hope for his coming.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Holy God, we long for your Spirit. Come among us. Bless this meal. May your word take flesh in us. Awaken your people. Fill us with your light and bring the gift of peace on earth.
Come, Holy Spirit.
All praise and glory are yours, Holy One of Israel, Word of God incarnate, power of the Most High, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
This is the gift of God for the people of God. All are welcome to come forward and receive communion. In a minute, the usher will direct you to form a line. Come with your hand forward if you wish to receive communion, with your arms crossed, if you wish a blessing. But you are all invited to come and partake.
Thank you.
and blood of our Lord and Savior, keep us in grace. Let us pray. Faithful God, in this meal you have remembered your mercy, bringing heaven to earth in the body and blood of Christ. As we wait for the day when all your promises will be fulfilled, sustain us and strengthen us by this holy mystery. Guide us towards your promised future, coming to birth in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Now I'd like to have an open moment for announcements. If there are any announcements.
Social Ministry Committee this year has decided that we would once again help the foster children have a Merry Christmas. And some of you I can see have already discovered our giving tree in the narthex. We are hoping that you take gift tags and 5 gifts for the foster children in Lincoln County. If there's more on a gift tag than you want to fulfill, perhaps you could join with another member of the congregation to fulfill the wish of the foster child. Foster Parents Association is asking that you do not wrap the presents, but that you either bundle them together or put them in a gift bag and save that gift tag and attach it to your gifts so they know who to deliver it to. I don't have a pickup date yet. It'll be near Christmas sometime. As soon as I hear, we'll put it in the WOW and let you know. Thank you.
Are there any more for the good of the order? Looks like we have Marianne.
I'm back. Okay, next week we have our cookie celebration following church and the decorating of the Christmas tree. So I invite everyone to bring a plate of something to share that's in your repertoire for Christmas time and help us go ahead and decorate the tree so that then we have it for the rest of our holiday season.
Are there any more? Well, we would like to invite everyone to join us this Wednesday for Holden Evening Prayer at 7 p.m. As we journey through Advent and wait and hope. And join us next week as we decorate the tree. There's no more than let us prepare our hearts to receive the benediction. God, the eternal Word, who dwells with us in Jesus and holds us in the grace of the Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Behold, here's the door that's open.
Amen.